to. This is
Cruise Radio Rewind. Real reviews from real cruisers.
My name is Doug Parker, and you're listening to Cruise Radio Rewind. Stuart Chiron, cruise industry analyst, is going to be on here in just a couple of moments. Not too long of a show this weekend, just to kind of catch up on what's going on. And one other thing, if it's all right with you, I always want to ask your permission first. I think we're going to proceed forward and move ahead with the regular show doing cruise ship reviews every week come Thursday. So the next episode of Cruise Radio will be a ship review. And we'll keep moving forward until we fight this thing. You know, we've been talking a lot about COVID-19, coronavirus, and all everything. And not that it's not important, but I also think it's important that we keep the positivity moving forward. So we're going to do that as well. Of course, if you do want to stay on top of the cruise news 24/7, there's our website, cruiseradio.net, constantly pumping out articles there. Also, the Cruise Radio news feed, it's opposite of this one. All you have to do is type in Cruise Radio News, where you listen to your favorite podcast. Or if you have an Amazon Alexa, all you have to do is tell Alexa to enable the Cruise Radio News flash briefing. And it's usually updated every morning between 5 and 9 a.m., depending on whenever I get to it. All right, Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy, is here. Hey, Stuart.
Hey, Doug.
So a lot to catch up on. It was announced earlier this week that cruise ships could be used as floating hospitals. Play soundbite number one.
One of the things that happened this morning, I spoke with Mickey Arison of Carnival Cruise Lines, and he is going to make ships available. So in addition to the big medical ships that you have coming, if we should need ships with lots of rooms, they'll be docked at New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco, different places. So I want to thank Mickey Arison. That's Carnival Cruise Lines.
Stuart, I think it's important to clarify that this would be used for less threatening and non-COVID-19 patients.
Yes. That is correct, and there's a possibility. I mean, they're more than likely going to be some of the older ships as well, or ships that are really not even in service anymore that would, you know, be the most useful and beneficial for everyone concerned.
Any way you look at it, you know, if you put non-COVID-19 patients on it, or if you do, I mean, these ships are going to have a stigma to them that they were associated with coronavirus. I mean, it's kind of like in 2013 with Carnival Triumph, and it got named the Poop Cruise. That's still living 7 years later, and no one wants to, you know, associate a cruise with coronavirus. So it's like, okay, use the older ships if it comes to that, and we'll just get rid of them.
Just in general, there are other ships that Carnival Corp has that may not be in service right now, or ships that they're, you know, maybe, you know, have for sale. I mean, they're not going to use new ships.
If they had ships for sale, we wouldn't know about it, would we?
Not really.
No. Okay.
But there are ships that are pulled out of service over time, and they're up for sale, and they're used by some of the foreign foreign cruise lines. And they've got a lot of ships that that are. You know, could be possibly used for first responders, you know, for people to use the ships that are out there helping the public. I mean, there's so much more to go. And as we learn more about the illness, you know, we're now finding that, like in New York, I mean, they're saying over 50% of all of their cases are people between 18 and 49, which contradicts a lot of what other medical experts have been saying. So as more data comes in, they'll be able to determine what the best use of the ships and the locations for them. New York, L.A., San Francisco, Seattle. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in the weeks to come.
Yeah, and the government has used cruise ships in the past, though, for different types of relief.
Correct. I think most recently it was after Hurricane Katrina when a few of the Carnival ships were used for housing in New Orleans.
I also want to talk about travel industry bailouts, hotels, airlines, cruise lines. Should cruise lines be included in this since they are foreign flagged? I mean, there are two arguments here, right? Get help from the country that you're flagged under because of the whole not paying tax thing, or the cruise industry is responsible for billions of dollars in revenue and it has a ripple effect.
It does, Doug. In fact, you know, when you think of the tens of thousands of American employees that, let's say, are shoreside, that are dealing in the office, outside the office, but then you're dealing with, you know, millions of people that are involved in this industry, not just cruise line companies, but the companies that support them, the travel agents, the companies that handle dockings at the ports, or people that do provisions and provide various services. I mean, this is a gargantuan industry. Many of us have got to know a handful of people who are involved in the cruise industry one way or another. And this is far from, foreign, whether they're based in Europe or they're based here in the U.S. This is an industry that the United States is by far the biggest consumer of cruises in the world by far. And we're very dependent on it in many ways. So, but I don't think the cruise industry has actually asked for a handout. The industry just wants to get going again and be able to resume providing these incredible vacations that they have been. I mean, remember, cruising of all of the vacation options, it has the highest satisfaction rate out of all of them, and has the highest safety rate. Listen, it's not for everybody, and we hear all these these pundits who may have negative feelings toward the industry, and that's fine. They've obviously never been on a cruise, and listen, it's not for everybody. But the people that do go on cruises, they do enjoy it, and it's very, very important to the overall U.S. economy in a myriad of ways.
Earlier today, I was reading the CLIA 2018 Economic Impact Study, and it said over $52 billion was attributed to the cruise industry.
Yeah, and also keep in mind that you're dealing with U.S. employees that they get benefits, and the lines are paying the taxes on it. It's a vital industry to the continued growth of the United States, and it's very important for us to try to get back to work as soon as possible.
Why do you think it is that when it comes to cruise lines stepping up, it's mostly Carnival cruise ships? I mean, back in 2005, when FEMA got the ecstasy sensation in the Holiday, you never really hear about Norwegian or Royal Caribbean, stepping up with their cruise ships. Why is that?
Well, I think the Carnival ships were more suited for what needed to be done. Carnival had, at the time, certainly had more ships, but there was you don't need a 5,000 passenger ship. They needed the Fantasy class, which were 2,000 passenger ships each, were really the perfect size that one fit in the area. There was plenty of ways to service the ships, but some of the bigger ships would have been too much. And it's kind of like these ships were just the right size and the right cost. Mm-hmm. The Royal Caribbean ships may have cost significantly more.
So it's a bidding thing.
Correct.
Okay.
But these other ships were perfectly suited.
Getting out of this rut where production around the world has pretty much stopped, how could this impact future launches?
We're seeing delays of Virgin Voyages. Their first cruise ship was supposed to be, getting ready for service. Pre-inaugurals were supposed to have been underway. The ship would have been christened at this point, and it's been delayed till July now. Ritz-Carlton was supposed to be out in early 2020 in February. It was delayed because of shipyard issues and cost overruns. So then it was delayed till I think it was June or July. And because of coronavirus but more importantly, it was really more ship issues with the shipyard and taking control of the shipyard that now they're talking it won't debut until 2021. But then, we have Reefer. Royal Caribbean's already talking about pulling back on a couple of their refurbishment of several ships. Mm-hmm. And it's just not the right time. I mean, the money that would have been used to work on those ships, they need for operations. So right now, they need to get a lot of these ships. They need to get them back in, back in the ocean and back in operation to, be able to shore up their financial positions. But also to get people and their vacations underway.
Well, looking at Carnival Corporation's SEC filings from the past week, something caught my eye here. It says the corporation believes that the effects of COVID-19 on the shipyards where its ships are under construction will result in a delay in ship deliveries. And we've already seen that announced on Friday night with Carnival Radiance.
That's a very good concern. Celebrity Cruises, brand new Celebrity Apex, which is essentially done, it was supposed to have been delivered, the pre-inaugural sailings were supposed to be taking place, and the naming ceremony is going to be delayed more than likely until it gets it to Fort Lauderdale. Doug, there's the bigger picture is is really looking at what will happen with decisions by the cruise lines over the next few weeks about whether and what they're going to be deploying as scheduled. Meaning, are all these ships, a lot of the ships that were scheduled to go to Europe, whether they're supposed to go to the Baltic region, the Mediterranean, are they going to be heading out there? What about the ships that are supposed to be going to Alaska? You know, you have Canada that has said that they're restricting port visits, no ships should be scheduled until the beginning of July, which means that there's a good chance that half the Alaska season could be canceled. Hopefully, there's some other things that are being in the works that could help rescue the Alaska season. But there's a lot of very interesting decisions that will take place over the next week or two that could determine what is going to happen with ship deployments over the next few months.
I want to speak specifically about the travel agent community right now. Mickey Arison, he's the chairman of Carnival Corporation. His father, Ted Arison, actually started Carnival Cruise Line back in 1972. This is what he recently said. Play number two.
I've been in this almost 50 years, and I started. One of my early jobs was calling on travel agents in the state of Florida. So I do have a great appreciation, not just for them and their support, but how difficult their job is.
Yeah.
This is a time when we refer to travel agents as our partners, where we really have to be partners. And it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time for us. It's a difficult time for them. Hopefully, we'll all get through it. And at the other end, this too will pass. And we can start to rebuild the business the way it was before. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. But working together, I'm very confident that we'll continue to deliver great vacations to millions of people.
My question to you, Stuart, how important of a role will travel agents play in helping the cruise industry resume operations again?
Well, it's going to be a tremendous Herculean effort for the cruise lines, and the travel agents are going to play a very significant role in, one, helping fill the ships, conveying being able to inspire people, being able to explain, what is going on with the industry, there will certainly be some new, regulations that will be in place, but also to show that, the confidence in the industry, and the travel agents will play a very important role in ensuring that potential passengers, current passengers, are confident that, again, the ships are safe. I could tell you that if the ships were allowed to sail tomorrow, the ships would be pretty heavily filled. Of course, the biggest concern is, well, what's going to happen with people that are concerned about getting quarantined? And those are issues that they have that I know that they're working hard on that will be dealt with, so we don't see the disruptions that we've seen over the past few weeks. But the travel agents are going to play a very important role in encouraging new bookings, helping reassuring people that it is a great time to go. And as soon as they say that the ships are ready to go, you're going to see a huge amount of people that are just going to be very strongly desiring to take a cruise once they know it's okay to go. There's a tremendous amount of pent-up demand. And the cruise lines are going to be heavily depending on the travel agents to, letting people know. There's a lot of people that have had their reservations that were canceled. And the travel agents are going to play a very important role in getting those people rebooked on new ships and sailings so that they could take advantage of the credits. But then you also have the new passengers and new bookings that on the ships that will be sailing. And I think there's going to be a lot of new itineraries. Ships that were never planning to be, let's say, in the Caribbean, that are starting from scratch, that the travel agents are going to have to take bookings to get those ships filled and filled quickly.
We were talking about this last episode. So cruise lines are either offering a full refund or future cruise credit and onboard credit. I said, hey, depending on your financial situation, you do what's best for you. But would it, if you can afford it, might be smart to take that future cruise credit because we could see prices drop as the cruise industry kicks back up again?
I think we're going to see some good deals, but it's certainly not going to be reminiscent of what was being offered after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
People were concerned for their safety back then. People weren't traveling, outside of their homes, let alone, going outside the country. And that's when we saw a lot more ships being used and being berthed around what we called, you know, it was a major home porting blitz that was being done by the cruise lines. There will be some good deals, but they're not going to be what, reminiscent of what it was back then. It's not, the cruise lines aren't going to be desperate.
Right.
There's going to be some good opportunities for people to take advantage. But those credits, I mean, Doug, you know, when you're talking about, look, I can get 100% of my money back, or I can get a 25% increase on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what kind of a savings plan can you get 25% increase on your money? I mean, so here you've got 125%, and you can go on, and you're not being restricted as to which ship and sailing. You may have been on a 3 or 4 night cruise, but you can use that credit to be applied toward a 7 night cruise or even longer. And it could also be, instead of going to, you know, the Bahamas, it could be, to a longer Caribbean sailing on a much nicer ship. And you'll have a nice big credit to apply toward that different sailing, which I think is going to be very beneficial. I think a lot of people are going to be very happy. I think the cruise line, look, at the beginning, some people may have thought it was difficult. Look, none of us knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
In a million years, you couldn't have predicted that in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks we would be where we are mm-hmm. right now. And so it was an evolving situation. And I think at the end of the day, I think the cruise lines collectively stepped up. They protected the passengers. They protected the travel agents at great cost to themselves, their shareholders. They did what was right. And I think that a lot of people are going to, take notice of that, and they're going to look forward to taking that vacation that we all could desperately use right now.
I want to close with something a little less serious. Well, serious to me, but not for everyone else. I've been watching these cruise ships come in and out of Jacksonville all week long. Norwegian Pearl, Norwegian Sky, Carnival Ecstasy. They've cleared the bridges, no problem. When are we going to get more cruise ships here in Jacksonville?
Well, Doug, unfortunately, I don't think they will, because Jacksonville is at a disadvantage, because in 7 nights, you can't get into the Caribbean and do a Caribbean itinerary. Carnival tried to do it with Carnival Miracle, many years ago. And if you remember, I think they had 6 or 7 sailings.
Yeah.
And after 2 attempts, the demand was too low. And so they wound up canceling the other 4 itineraries. Port Canaveral is essentially as far north as the cruise lines can go to get a quality 7-night Caribbean cruise. I don't foresee it changing when you're looking at 3, 4 and 5 night sailings out of a port. I don't think there's strong enough demand, and then you're also dealing with Charleston, competing with Charleston for a cruise. But again, they too have one ship. Other cruise lines had been there, Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, and others. It just didn't work out for them. It does work for Carnival, which is why they're there. But I don't foresee any other ships any time soon coming into Jacksonville, simply because it's just geographically not well positioned to be a cruise port with multiple ships.
Well, that is not the answer I wanted to hear, but we've been talking with cruise industry analyst Stuart Chiron. Find him online at cruiseguy.com or follow him on Twitter at cruiseguy. Thank you, buddy.
Hey, Doug, my pleasure.
And thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate you. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you on Thursday. Take care.
During these difficult times for the travel industry, Cruise Radio stands behind the men and women who work so hard to bring our vacation dreams to life. From the captains and crew to travel agents, tour operators, vendors, and port employees, we offer a sincere thank you on behalf of the thousands of guests whose lives you impact each and every day.